She was panting, low and controlled, in, out, in, out, like a technique to conquer the pain of childbirth, or like the result of a ghastly shock, or like a last desperate barrier against screaming with dread and fear and terror. In, out, in, out. Point 8. Suicide bombers about to go into action stare rigidly ahead. No one knows why, but video evidence and surviving eyewitnesses have been entirely consistent in their reports. Bombers stare straight ahead. Perhaps they have screwed their commitment up to the sticking point and fear intervention. Perhaps, like dogs and children, they feel that if they're not seeing anyone, then no one is seeing them. Perhaps a last shred of conscience means they can't look at the people they're about to destroy. No one knows why, but they all do it. Passenger number 4 was doing it. That was for sure. She was staring across at the blank window opposite so hard she was almost burning a hole in the glass. Points 1 through 8. Check. I shifted my weight forward in my seat. Then I stopped. The idea was tactically absurd. The time was wrong. Then I looked again, and moved again, because points 9, 10, and 11 were all present and correct, too, and they were the most important points of all. Chapter 3. Point 9. Mumbled prayers. To date, all known attacks have been inspired or motivated or validated or invigilated by religion, almost exclusively the Islamic religion, and Islamic people are accustomed to praying in public. Surviving eyewitnesses report long, formulaic incantations run through and repeated endlessly and more or less inaudibly but with visibly moving lips. Passenger number 4 was really going at it. Her lips were moving below her fixed stare in a long, panting, ritualistic recitation that seemed to repeat itself every 20 seconds or so. Maybe she was already introducing herself to whatever deity she expected to meet on the other side of the line. Maybe she was trying to convince herself that there really was a deity and a line. The train stopped at 23rd Street. The doors opened. No one got off. No one got on. I saw the red exit signs above the platform. 22nd and Park, northeast corner, or 23rd and Park, southeast corner. Unremarkable lengths of Manhattan sidewalk, but suddenly attractive. I stayed in my seat. The doors closed. The train moved on. Point 10. A large bag. Dynamite is a stable explosive as long as it's fresh. It doesn't go off by accident. It needs to be triggered by blasting caps. Blasting caps are wired with detonator cord to an electricity supply and a switch. The big plungers in old Western movies were both things together. The first part of the handle's travel spun up a dynamo, like a field telephone, and then a switch was tripped. Not practical for portable use. For portable use, you need a battery, and for a linear yard of explosive, you need some volts and amps. Tiny AA cells put out a weak volt and a half. Not enough, according to prevailing rules of thumb. A 9-volt battery is better, and for a decent kick, you want one of the big square, soup can-sized cells sold for serious flashlights. Too big and too heavy for a pocket, hence the bag. The battery nestles in the bottom of the bag. Wires come off it to the switch, then they head on out through an unobtrusive slit in the back of the bag, and then they loop up under the hem of the inappropriate garment. Passenger number 4 was wearing a black canvas messenger bag, urban style, looped in front of one shoulder and behind the other and holed around into her lap. The way the stiff fabric bulged and sagged made it look empty, apart from a single heavy item. The train stopped at 28th Street. The doors opened. No one got on. No one got off. The doors closed and the train moved on. Point 11, hands in the bag. 20 years ago, point 11 was a recent addition. Previously, the list had ended at point 10, but things evolve. Action and then reaction. Israeli security forces and some brave members of the public had adopted a new tactic. If your suspicions were aroused, you didn't run. No point, really. You can't run faster than shrapnel. What you did instead was grab the suspect in a desperate bear hug. You pinned their arms to their sides. You stopped them reaching the button. Several attacks were prevented that way. Many lives were saved. But the bombers learned. Now they are taught to keep their thumbs on the button at all times, to make the bear hug irrelevant. The button is in the bag next to the battery, hence, hands in the bag. Passenger number 4 had her hands in her bag. The flap was bunched and creased between her wrists. The train stopped at 33rd Street. The doors opened. No one got off. A lone passenger on the platform hesitated and then stepped to her right and entered the next car. I turned and looked through the little window behind my head and saw her take a seat close to me. 2 stainless bulkheads and the coupler space. I wanted to wave her away. She might survive at the other end of her car. But I didn't wave. We had no eye contact, and she would have ignored me anyway. I know New York. Crazy gestures on late-night trains carry no credibility. The doors stayed open a beat longer than normal. For a mad second, I thought of trying to shepherd everyone out. But I didn't. It would have been a comedy. Surprise, incomprehension, maybe language barriers. I wasn't sure that I knew the Spanish word for bomb. Bomba, maybe? Or was that light bulb? A crazy guy ranting about light bulbs wasn't going to help anyone. No, light bulb was bombilla, I thought. Maybe. Possibly. But certainly, I didn't know any Balkan languages, and I didn't know any West African dialects. Although maybe the woman in the dress spoke French. Some of West Africa is francophone, and I speak French. Une bombe. La femme là-bas a une bombe sous son manteau. The woman over there has a bomb under her coat. The woman in the dress might understand, or she might get the message some other way and simply follow us out. If she woke up in time. If she opened her eyes. In the end, I just stayed in my seat. The doors closed. The train moved on.